139, and I'm going to preach a personal message from Psalms here, 139, for each of us that are saved by the grace of God. And this is a daily exercise that if we watch Baptist church members, I'm not talking about Grace Baptist Church, but a lot of Baptist church members, they need to practice this. So look in Psalms 139, and first we'll read verse 17 and 18, then we'll skip down to verse 23 and 24. How precious are thou unto me, O Lord! How great if I look down to verse 23 and 24. Psalmist David extolled the Lord for his son. And lead me in the way everlasting. Our message this morning is self-examination. In light of the love and grace of God toward him, he desires to convert in verses 2 through 4. Well, look in verse 1 through 4. Oh, Lord, now keep that. When the Lord says that, and you by faith commit a sin, but what about with God. And this is not I need to think like God thinks. I need to react. And I said, but the Word of God says that's wrong. You need to agree with God about that and repent of it. I've stopped doing it. The Word of God said he was wrong. He knew he was wrong. So to do that. There's something I said in Psalm 26, if you want to turn there. Psalm 26. I'm looking at verse 1 and 2. Those things do things that we may think that are okay, but in light of the Lord, they may be wrong. And so in light, the question is, his plan. How are we to know? Before him. Well, we've talked about self-examination, Psalm 119. Has anybody here memorized this whole psalm yet? It's only 172 verses. Now notice some words with me. This is what we want to send our message on. Blessed are the Hold on to that. I will read the Bible. And keep that in mind, right? First of all, testimonies. We need to know and understand and study the Word of God. The word testimony means a witness. In our English language, we get a and from you have theology class. Run the theology. Sunday school is a theology. In your home, you should have theology classes. Theology is a study, and that's being acquainted with. And I'll be preaching more about that in the next chapter. And what they the Word of God and you know the whole Bible, I think I might have mentioned this from the pulpit here. The Bible's only written about two things. Man's ruin and God's redemption. And we need to know the God of our redemption. He is the Redeemer. He came to redeem us. The very God of heaven came down to redeem us. Then we came upon this. Statutes. The you go out man, here's a statute we're going to study or think about. And you ask everybody experience in their life. So and so 90% of those 50% you talk to have never been baptized. And we can't alter that. I know this fact. It's in the and I've been in, under the water probably a million times in my life's experience. But I've only been back. Wow, they had the authority. There's only one authority. Read that in scriptures that we can be too harsh by practicing the Word of God. What about the Lord's Supper? Lord's Supper is a church. That's what this church believes. And you take the elements of the Lord's Supper, and as a church, and you go out here and probably 90% of people that tell you, they take the Lord's Supper. You open up this church to the Lord's Supper for anybody, even the heathen can come in and take it if they were here. Why? They think they're good people. Is it good people take it? No, it's saved people that have scriptural baptism that are members of that local church where it's being served. See, that's statutes. And that's just a couple of things. And how to organize a church. Man told me one time that Mother Church was a new term. I said, is that so? And this guy heard him. He said, yeah. And so he heard him talking with me, and he said, you're saying that Mother Church is a new term? And I'll tell you a little experience we had with this church just recently. And he said, that was around the late 1800s, early 1900s, that the Landmarkers started using that term. And the man that was listening, after he got through blasting me for believing in a mother church, believing in local church, and church started a church, and perpetuity and all that, that fellow says, wait a minute, I'll help you out with that. So he went home and got a book that was published in 1700, right in the flyleaf. He made him a copy of it. In that book, it was about church truth. And it says, I must. Now, this experience, last time I preached here, we left here and we went up to our sons. Our son has been called to preach 3 or 4 years, and now he's in his first pastorate. The church he pastors, anybody ever hear this name? Gospel. Grace Gospel Baptist Church. It's on Route 2 between Barbersville and Point Pleasant, about two-thirds of the way up. And this older lady, she was there, and she said, David said you preached in Cerrito today. I said, yeah, I did. And she smiled. She said, where was it at? And I said, Grace Baptist Church in Cerrito. She said, I figured that. But she knew that. And so that was the children of this church. I mean, this church. See what I'm saying? God. Commandments are marching orders. You want to know? You want to make a plan? You have commandments from the Do you sit down and decide how you want to keep those? No. If you did, you'd be charged with insubordination. And you could be put in a brig and face a military court for insubordination. How do you think God feels when we disobey His commands and we sit down and try to figure out just how we want to do them? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. We're literalists. That's what it says. That's what it means. Honor thy father. And listen. In the military, when they Then you lose the blessing. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. They're my marching orders. They're the way of blessing. They're the way of prosperity. And we love him because he loved us. How do we love him? We can do everything to that. But we love him. He loved us. And so we keep those commandments. Then there's a fourth word. Testimonies are a witness. Statutes are I want mercy from God. I don't want justice. Even my best. So those. In those parts, remember what David pled with God? This is part. No. He said, lead me in the way everlasting. See, that's the way that we bring ourselves before God. Examine. But then there's a positive, a negative sense. There was a commandment in the Garden of Eden of all there was one premonition, what was it? of the tree of good and evil thou shalt not eat. For in the day and you God said. God didn't say they couldn't touch that tree. He said, don't eat of that tree. You'll die if you eat of it. And so what did she do? She looked, she saw, she longed, she lusted, she took. Of disobedience. Of what God. They did what God said not to do. And God just sent them down. The city was ravaged, torn down bit by bit. The temple was destroyed, and now they're no more. Think about that. Think about what I'm saying. Why should we do this self-examination every day? The positive is, certainly, and Psalm 19:7-14. The Lord. What I'm saying this morning. We need to know. We need to know His. That we can. His judgment. And we need to know His law. Now the law, if you notice what we've already said, it combines the statutes and judgment to confirm and establish our moral character. We'll never be gods upon this earth. But our aim and goal in this life is to know, understand, and be more like our Savior today than we were yesterday. We need to have the character of God. I'll tell you what, we're living in a time when Jesus, remember that when He said, if the righteous scarcely be saved? Aren't we living in that time? We're living in a time, if you listen real close, people see how far they can go with God, how far away from God they can go, and they'll even say, well, you think if I did that I'd be lost? It's not a matter of saved and lost. It's a matter of losing the blessing, losing the reward. A matter of being displeasing to the God who loved us and died for us. Isn't it awful that we would do that? It's a terrible thing. We need to be of the highest moral character of anyone in our whole community. Understand that. And through the statutes and judgments, the law, the Ten Commandments, and we need the highest and moral character. Why? And they were first called Christians at Antioch. Anybody know what that is? That is a slang term. Christian. It was a term of bitter hatred toward those people that they called Christians. Why did they call them Christians? They hated Christ. They hated the gospel of Christ. How did he come? He rose again before them and walked among them, and they saw him and heard him and looked at him. And then they saw him ascend back into heaven. And they said, "You're imitating him." There's no greater testimony of a child of God than someone to say, "You're doing everything just the way the Bible says. You're doing everything like Christ says." Sure we are. That's a good testimony of our life. If people like them, in hatred toward them, said you're Christians. But look at here in Romans chapter 12. This is a very familiar scripture. And I like this scripture. Romans 12, remember that? Verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore. You know what Paul is saying? In that, they give the It's not unreasonable for me to study about God, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and know them, understand them, and know his law, and try to live in them, and make them my daily occupation. Present about it. See, we're to make a definite presentation. A living sacrifice. People, oh, I think but what about living? He don't want you to die for him. If necessary, you can die for him. He wants you in this world that we are to live for him, to convey him to others. That's what he's saying. Holy, except unto God, which is our reasonable, so unreasonable, it's a blessing. And look at this. And be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. People get in the worst kind of trouble because they want to walk as close as they can to this world and talk with worldlings and, you know what I'm saying? Have that swagger like the world. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How can we be transformed? By the renewing of our mind, by our relationship to God, to you ever hear Brother Tom Ross preach? You ever hear him use the three B's? You live your life by the three B's. You know what those three B's are? Boy, that's hard for Baptists. Bible before breakfast. Every morning I get up. And I've been preaching longer than Tom Ross has been living. He didn't teach me anything but that. That's what I've always done. I begin my day with the Lord. Get up before the break of day. Oh, you mean get up early? You know how you can get up early? Turn the TV off, turn the computer off, turn the kids off, lay the covers down on the bed, flip it. In 3 months or whatever. I love to read the Bible. How many times have I read the Bible through? I have no idea. God knows. Why do I read? I want to know what His Word. His Word is for me. God called me to preach His Word. And to preach His Word, I know His Word. I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect in knowledge, but I want to know His Word. And so I study to show myself approved unto God. Transforms our mind. Prove that an acceptable and perfect will of God. It all works. It all works. It's a daily, constant striving to go farther today with God than I did yesterday. You know why? You know what's the negative to that? The devil will take you as far down the road today as he can. He'll leave off and pick up tomorrow and take you as far down the road. Which God created. So what do we do as God's saints? With our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So let's understand this. Understand what I've said. And this is nothing new. Just go to Psalm 119, 1 through 8, read those scriptures, think of those things that I've said, and let's have a brighter week this week than we've ever had. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for yourself, your word, Lord, your spirit, to lead us and guide us in these great truths that we've talked about, that we can be prosperous, that we can love you above all else, that your word would be sweeter than honey to our taste, that be worth more to us than refined gold or silver. That our existence, Lord, wholly, totally depends upon you and our walk and relationship with you. And may we grow in grace and in knowledge every day of our lives so that we can prosper more in the things that you would have us prosper in. For we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you.